In the objective assessment of the shoulder joint, the first thing you want to do is to observe. Definitely, you want to check for things like the soccer sign, which could suggest inferior shoulder instability. Check for swelling, scarification. Just checking the joint, comparing to the other shoulder joint, checking for uneven shoulder creases and stuff. That's the first thing you want to do. And the next thing is movement, definitely. You can passively tell the patient to actively move the shoulder, let the active range of motion start. If there is active range of motion, then there might not be a need for you to check a passive range of motion. Because if the active is free, then the passive has to be free. But the other way around, if the passive is free, the active might not be free if the muscles are weak. Okay, so you want the patient to do an active range of motion. And when the patient is doing an active range of motion, I'm already thinking, if the range of motion is limited, active range of motion is limited, then I want to do passive range of motion after. If that's also limited in some directions, then I'm already thinking of, okay, does this patient have adhesive capsulitis? Especially if the limitation is in capsular pattern, where the external rotation, the abduction, internal rotation and flexion are limited both in active and passive range of motion, and extension is spared, then I'm thinking, okay, this is a typical sign of adhesive capsulitis. All right, so also during the active range of motion, I'm watching for painful arc. If there is pain between 60 and 100 degrees of abduction, I'm thinking, okay, this could suggest a subacromial impingement. The next thing I want to do is a special test, series of special tests to just know what exactly is going on. So the painful arc, like I said, the next test to follow that I usually follow with is the NAIR test. And if that is positive and there is pain on the anterior part of the shoulder, then it's tending towards subacromial impingement. But if the pain is at the posterior shoulder area, then I'm thinking of an internal impingement syndrome. The next thing I would try to do is Hawkins-Kennedy test. So this test is a weird one, because even when it's negative, it means something. So if Hawkins is positive, so I've done NAIR test, and let's say NAIR test is positive, so I'm thinking the patient has an impingement syndrome. But now I'm trying to know if it's subacromial impingement, is it an internal impingement? So I'm doing Hawkins-Kennedy. If it's positive, then it reflects a subacromial impingement. And if Hawkins is negative, even though the NAIR test was positive, then I'm thinking of an internal impingement syndrome. Okay, the next test I want to do is apprehension test. I want the patient to lie down and do the test on the symptomatic shoulder. If there is pain in the anterior part of the shoulder, but no apprehension, if there is apprehension, I'm thinking of an anterior shoulder instability. But if there is just pain, it could mean a mild instability of the shoulder, anterior instability of the shoulder. It could also mean an anterior a subacromial impingement. So how do I know which is which? So I'll do a relocation test after. If after putting the posterior pressure on the shoulder and doing the relocation test, the pain persists, then I'm thinking, oh, it's a primary impingement, so not instability. But if the pain leaves, then it's an anterior shoulder humeral instability. All right, so the next thing I want to test for is, now that I know that it's an impingement, so I'm thinking towards an impingement, I want to know what is impinged, what could be impinged. There are several structures in the subacromial space that could be impinged. So it could be the rotator cuff, it could be the bicep tendon, It could be the bursa, quite a lot of things that could be inflamed or impinged. Okay, so the first thing I want to do is a full can test. Full can and empty can are quite similar, except that one is full and the other one is empty. So for the full can test, if it's positive, then I'm thinking, okay, this could be a confirmation of a subacromial impingement from the rotator cuff tendon, or it could be a supraspinatus tendinitis, for example, because full can places a lot of places a mild tension or pulling on this supraspinatus tendon. Okay, so if full can is positive and I'm thinking of either subacromial or supraspinatus tendon, then I need to confirm it. Then I'll do an empty can after. If the empty can is positive, then that confirms the subacromial. Alright, so the next thing I want to do is confirm that the bicep tendon isn't affected, and also just to rule out slap lesion and bicep tendinitis. So I'm going to do speed test or Jagerson test, or just quickly do both. Alright, just to rule out any thoracic outlet syndrome or anything, just one test is enough. Rules or Addison test, especially if the patient presents with symptoms that could suggest thoracic outlet syndrome. Also, cross-body adduction, just to rule out anything with the acromioclavicular joint. Quickly do that. And also, I forgot to mention that after observing, you definitely want to palpate the shoulder, both the glenohumeral joints, the scapular area, scapulothoracic area, acromioclavicular area, just to palpate and find any tenderness along the joint line, just to rule out possibility of fractures and things like that. Palpate for spasm, because that could affect the range of motion and could affect the reading and basically could affect the reading and your diagnosis. Alright, so you can complete all of this within 5 minutes once you know what exactly it is that you're looking for. But most times it can be really, really difficult to be specific with the kind of tissue. For example, it can be really, really difficult to differentiate between a subacromial impingement or a bursitis, or a subacromial bursitis. But understanding that if it's a bursitis, it's an inflammation, the pain will be always there, and they can have signs of inflammation like differential warmth, swelling, and things like that. And the pain is usually sharp and not dull, and it gets worse with movement and things like that. And the way the impingement will be described will be different from that. Just understanding those things could help. But basically, within 5 minutes, you're done with your objective assessment. And of course, you want to do functional assessment as quick as possible, because it doesn't really matter what the diagnosis is if you don't know how limited the patient is functionally. So what exactly can you do and can you not do? And what would you? So, because all of this would be your objective markers and when you're trying to come up with the treatment goals and plans with the patient. So what exactly is it that we're trying to achieve? The patient doesn't care if it's an anterior impingement or posterior impingement. They just want to get better and be able to play squash again. Okay?